Hello, this is Pastor Pete Beck III with LifeNet in Burlington, North Carolina. Welcome to today's podcast, which is part of a new series entitled Life Lessons from the Old Testament. Today's podcast is titled Joab, Undone by Looking Out for Number One. Joab was one of the more interesting people who figured prominently in David's kingdom. He was the son of Zeruiah, King David's sister, and he was therefore one of David's nephews. Joab's brothers, Abishai and Asahel, were two of David's mighty men. Joab earned the position of general of David's armies during the battle for Jerusalem. How he became general provides a valuable insight into Joab's subsequent behavior and eventual downfall. King David became king after being selected and anointed for that position by God through the prophet Samuel. When King Saul understood that God was raising up David to be his replacement, instead of cooperating with the plan of God, he made it his mission to murder David. Very importantly, David steadfastly refused to take matters into his own hands, even though he had more than one opportunity to kill Saul, his adversary. David understood that coming against God's appointed authority never ends well. Once when Saul entered the cave in which David was hiding, his men urged him to kill the king, saying, "Now is your opportunity," David's men whispered to him. "Today the Lord is telling you, I will certainly put your enemy into your power to do with as you wish." So David crept forward and cut off a piece of the king's robe. But when David's conscience began bothering him because he had cut off Saul's robe, he said, "The Lord knows I shouldn't have done that to my lord the king. The Lord forbid that I should do this to my lord the king and attack the Lord's anointed one, for the Lord himself has chosen him." So David restrained his men and did not let them kill Saul after Saul had left the cave and gone on his way. That's from the New Living Translation for Samuel 24, 4 through 7. Instead, David waited patiently for God to remove Saul and place him into position as the king. All this is found in 1 and 2 Samuel. Joab's ascension to power came very differently, however. In the heat of battle for Jerusalem, David made the following unfortunate promise. He announced that the first to go up and strike the Jebusites would become the leader of his army. 1 Chronicles 11, 4 through 9. Joab fulfilled the requirement and became general. He earned the position, whereas David received his position as a gift from God. Looking back with 2020 hindsight, we can see that David should have asked God who should be his commander. Nevertheless, the Lord worked through Joab's generalship for David's good for most part, with a few notable exceptions. The principle we derive from this part of Joab's story is that how we achieve our position is how we must seek to maintain it. Joab became general through his own efforts, and that is how he sought to preserve it for the rest of his life. Since Joab did not receive his generalship as a gift from God, he had no confidence that God would preserve him in that position. He thought that he must always look out for himself first. What we receive from God as a gift, we can trust him to keep for us. What we achieve through our own efforts, we must preserve that way. Looking out for old number one never ends well. Jesus said in Luke 17:33, "If you cling to your life, you will lose it, and if you let your life go, you will save it." New Living Translation. Joab generally served David well as general. He won many victories and usually proved to be very loyal to David. He realized that David was his ticket to success. As long as upholding David resulted in his own position being preserved, he was steadfastly loyal. But when his position was threatened, he took matters into his own hands, revealing a lack of confidence in God. During the years when Saul still retained the kingdom and pursued David in the wilderness, Joab loyally served David. He understood that David was God's man who would eventually be king. Instead of serving the current king whom God was replacing, he took the risk of backing the one who had the promise from God. This was perhaps Joab's finest hour. The first example of Joab putting his own interest ahead of David's was in the matter of Abner. When Saul died, his son named Ishbosheth was installed as his successor, due in large measure to the support of General Abner. David was accepted by Judah as their king, but the other tribes remained loyal to Saul's son. This situation went on for 7 years, and battles were fought between the competing factions, which posed Abner against Joab. In one of those skirmishes, Abner killed Joab's brother Asahel, which fueled a longing for payback in Joab. Eventually, the tides of war began to go David's way, and Abner fell out with Ishbosheth, acting rebelliously toward the king because, like Joab, he was seeking his own best interests. He approached David to work out a way to bring the other tribes under David's rule. Seizing the opportunity, David made a political choice to give the generalship to Abner, which imperiled Joab and incentivized him to murder Abner, both to revenge his brother's death and to preserve his own position as general. Joab probably assumed that Abner would get the generalship since he had been King Saul's man. Though David stood to gain politically by choosing Saul's former general, Abner, over Joab, Abner was an even poorer choice to be general than Joab. One can imagine how Joab must have felt when his king consorted with his rival. Nevertheless, Joab's deceitful murder of Abner in cold blood cried out for God's punishment, which would eventually come years later. In the meantime, Joab retained his position as general, but this episode created a big rift between David and Joab. They continued to work together, but never again would they fully trust one another. David now realized that Joab could not be controlled, and Joab understood that David was not fully loyal to him. The next big test for Joab came when David committed adultery with Bathsheba and ordered Joab to orchestrate things in battle so that Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, would be killed. Joab went along with the murderous plan. But why? Perhaps he identified with David, who in this case also was putting himself ahead of God's will. Maybe he wanted to gain some leverage against David. Perhaps he was being blindly loyal. Whatever the case, this was a sad day in King David's life, one for which he, his family, and the nation paid dearly. Eventually, what took place here culminated with the lowest point in David's life, Absalom's rebellion. Absalom became embittered against his father when David failed to properly deal with Absalom's older half-brother, Amnon. Amnon was infatuated with his beautiful half-sister, Tamar, who was also Absalom's full sister. He raped her and subsequently cast her off. David did nothing. When Absalom discovered what happened, he coldly plotted revenge, which he pulled off at a sheep shearing event when his men killed Amnon. He may have planned to kill David at that time as well, but the king chose not to attend the event. David banished Absalom for a season, but eventually brought him back. But they were never reconciled. Absalom began to carry out a plan to gradually win over the hearts of many in Israel. He plotted with Bathsheba's bitter grandfather to overthrow David. At the right time, Absalom launched the rebellion from Hebron and sent his army to capture David in Jerusalem. At this low point in David's life, the king showed his faith in God in a big way. He told his followers that he trusted that God would restore the kingdom to him if it pleased him. Otherwise, he resigned himself to God's will. He was not passive, however. He fled the city, and to his credit, Joab remained loyal to David. The decisive battle came sometime later. David instructed his commanders to show mercy to Absalom, but Joab paid his king no mind and personally killed Absalom when the opportunity presented itself. Once again, Joab showed that he was ungovernable, but in this case, he did exactly what needed to be done. Absalom had to die. After the battle, David grieved for his son, confusing his victorious warriors who risked their lives to end the threat. It was at this point that Joab's true colors once again showed themselves. He told David that he must stop weeping for his enemy or he would demoralize his faithful, which was good advice. However, he threatened to lead a coup against David if he did not follow this directive. Joab revealed at this point that he considered himself to be in a superior position to David. He believed David was beholden to him to retain the kingship, which was the very thing Abner had done to Ish-bosheth. I believe this threat sealed Joab's fate. The principle here is that when we presume to dictate to or threaten those God has put in place in our lives as governing authorities, we cross a line that begs for God's judgment. After Absalom's defeat, David once again showed disloyalty to Joab by courting the general who backed Absalom in order to gather rebellious tribes back to himself. David seemed to alternate between operating by God's principles and the world's. When Joab heard about this, he resorted to what he knew best. He murdered Abinadab, his challenger, once again shedding innocent blood. I blame this one on David, but Joab did not have to react the way he did. What would have happened if Joab had trusted God to sort things out? We will never know. Joab's last rodeo brought him down. When David was so aged that he scarcely governed any longer, his eldest son living, named Adonijah, decided to step into the vacuum and have himself declared king. To pull this off, he obtained the support of the general of David's army, Joab. Previously, God had made it clear that Solomon was the one destined for the throne, but for whatever reasons, Adonijah thought he could pull it off, and Joab must have believed that his future looked brighter, serving the presumptive king rather than Solomon. This was a fatal decision. When David got wind of what was going on, he promptly installed Solomon as king, putting those who supported Adonijah in great danger for their treason. Solomon showed great restraint and refused to punish the rebels, but on his deathbed, David ordered Solomon to take down Joab. And I'll read from 1 Kings 2, 5 through 6. David said, "And there is something else. You know what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me when he murdered my two army commanders, Abner, son of Ner, and Amasa, son of Jether. He pretended that it was an act of war, but it was done in a time of peace, staining his belt and sandals with innocent blood. Do with him what you think best, but don't let him go old and go to his grave in peace." That's the New Living Translation. The opportunity to fulfill David's directive arrived when Adonijah asked Bathsheba to seek permission for him to marry David's former concubine, Abishag. This was tantamount to asking to be king, which infuriated Solomon, who dispatched his new commander, Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, to execute him. When Joab heard this news, he fled to the altar, hoping it would offer protection, but Jehoiada dragged him out and put him to death. Thus the old general ended poorly. Benaiah had faithfully served David as captain of his personal bodyguard. He never once disregarded the king's command or did anything solely for his own benefit. His loyalty was rewarded, and he was the man who brought God's judgment upon the self-serving Joab, who over and over violated God's principles of authority. Ending well is a bigger challenge than one might think. Some of the biggest temptations in life come later in life. What we sow when we are young also may come home to roost later in life. That was certainly the case with Joab. David made plenty of mistakes too, but he repented when appropriate and kept his heart soft toward God. There is no record that Joab ever repented for his sins. The final principle we can draw from Joab's life is that faithfulness is eventually rewarded and rebellion punished. Joab's partial faithfulness was rewarded for a time, but the rebellion that was mixed in eventually brought him down. He ended up siding with the rebel when it seemed to be to his advantage and went down with him. Proverbs teaches us that moral character has a tremendous impact on our destiny. Joab's moral flaws led to his downfall. It is vital that we allow the Holy Spirit to transform us so that we act, think, and speak more and more like our Lord. Otherwise, our personal character defects may negatively impact our lives in a big way. May the Lord be gracious to us and help us so that we can end well as David did, rather than as did Joab. David was a serious sinner too, but he sought and found forgiveness. Joab never did, which undid him.